Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. My name is Letitia, endometriosis advocate, jewelry designer and owner of Stand Out Style, empowerment speaker, and author. This week's episode is talking about end of year as well as all the other things that we have going on. So, let's jump into this week's episode. So, 2020 will definitely go down in the history books as an interesting year with the pandemic and just all of the changes that we've had to make, both personally, professionally, all around the world. It has been a very different and challenging situation, I know, for everyone. So, that being said, I appreciate everyone who's listening. I hope that everyone's staying safe and send my best wishes to everyone. I know the pandemic has not been easy on anyone, especially, you know, having endometriosis. It's just been hard to get into the doctor. If we needed to get into the doctor, also having a lot of, I know personally, I've had a lot of video chats, which video visits, video chats, however they describe it, which is helpful in a way to see the doctor, because sometimes you can get in sooner, but not helpful if you actually need them to check you or you need to see the doctor in person. So it's not very helpful in terms of that. So that's changing. But I do, we've talked about it so many times, self-care. And I have a friend who honestly is always, always, always talking to me about self-care. You have to self-care, self-care, self-care. You have to take care of yourself. And that is so important, to take care of yourself. And she stresses it to me all the time, and I know I've talked to you guys about it, and it's something that I do, but I don't do it honestly like I should. My friend does self-care. She does something for herself, some form of self-care, just some form of self-care. Every day, at least one thing or more, every day of self-care. It could be anything. Sometimes she will sit and meditate. Sometimes she will drink tea, take a bath, something. Just does something that she enjoys to, you know, take time out, do self-care. It doesn't have to be anything long and drawn out. I mean, it could even be journaling. And, you know, that's something, honestly, we've talked about self-care, and I've talked about journaling, and I have journaled, but I haven't journaled every day like I was supposed to. Honestly, my friend was, you know, very kind, and honestly, for my birthday, did give me a journal, honestly. And it is something where every day you journal. You write about what you're grateful for. 365 days, you write down what you're grateful for. So, my birthday is coming up. I haven't had it yet. It's coming up. So, this airs. My birthday is actually on Monday. So, the episode actually aired on my birthday. So, that was pretty cool. But, that was the birthday present I've already received that she gave me was, you know, it's a journal and you write what you're grateful for every day. And that's what I'm going to start in 2021 to do, a form of self-care and all of that is to, you know, write what you're grateful for. And I feel like journaling really helps you write down what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and being grateful just helps you see how many blessings and different things you have every day. And I have done a gratitude journal before. Something I have done, like you write down, and you're like, I did do blessings for the day before, or I've done blessings for the week. You write down all your blessings and you can see them. Because sometimes the negatives overshadow the positives. And I know that especially for me, when I'm having a bad endo week, which is personally the week before and the week of my period, when I feel like endo is the worst, it would be really, really helpful for me personally to see all of the blessings that I've had during the week, things that I'm grateful for during those times. Because those are a rough couple weeks. Just with the bowel endometriosis, just the bowel problems, the bloating, the just sometimes feeling tired, just tired of going to the bathroom constantly, just feeling frustrated, honestly. I know I was talking to a health coach and was talking about the days, you know, right before my period and on my period. I'm like, when it's flared up, just like, I feel like I cannot get anything done. Spending all this time in the bathroom, just cannot get anything done. It's draining. Physically, mentally, I feel like I just can't get anything done. I'm like, it's just, you know, it's horrible. So during those rough times, it will be helpful, you know, to write something that you're grateful for or that you have blessings for. And so, you know, I really appreciate that. And I challenge you, you know, do self-care. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be journaling. Meditation really honestly hasn't worked well for me when I've tried it in the past. That, you know, I would try it again. I mean, there are different things you can exercise. Some people exercise. Talked about it before. Still want to try yoga. There's just all different types of things you can do for self-care. I know some people, their self-care or some things they do is they just take a day. Like, I know a lady, I've talked about it before. She has a day like Sundays, her hair spa day. So that is the day where she just spends the majority of the day, you know, doing her hair. Like, she takes her shower and everything, but then she'll do her deep conditioning and all of that and just spend that extra time on her hair. So that's basically her, you know, hair care day. So that's the day she sets aside to spend extra time on her hair, which is like, you know, her self-care for her hair. I mean, it can be anything. It could be, you know, maybe your self-care is getting a massage, or maybe it's getting your nails done. It could be as simple as taking a bath. Maybe you decided maybe once a week you're going to take an extra long shower. I mean, whatever it is that you want to do. Or maybe, you know, you want to do a bubble bath, or do candles, or listen to music, or whatever it is to relax you and do self-care that will get you just taking care of yourself. This year has been stressful. Having endometriosis is stressful. We need to find ways to take care of ourselves and our body. Exercise is so important, and I know I've stressed it. Exercise, exercise, exercise. I feel like my body does better, honestly, when I exercise. And it is a catch-22 because there are days where my body does not feel well and I don't feel like exercising. But when I do exercise, my body overall feels better. So it's like, it's hard to balance. And having endometriosis is just one of the things, unfortunately, we have to deal with. We need to try to manage it the best way that we can. But we have to make sure that we take care of ourselves as well. And the only way we can do that is making sure, you know, we take care of ourselves, we're going to exercise, eating healthy, drinking water, doing what we can on that front. Because we want to limit the inflammation and everything that we can. Flare-ups are bad on their own, but we want to do whatever we can to limit the amount of flare-ups or how bad they'll be if we can. If there's something we're eating that causes flare-ups, or something that we're, you know, that we know causes problems, then we want to try to alleviate that as best as we can so we don't cause additional problems. Like I said, I know my body feels better when I exercise. I don't always do it. So I need to be more intentional in the new year about exercising more and making sure I'm doing all of that. It's just so many things at the end of the year. 2020, man, hard to believe that this year has been the way it has. Good, you know, we've had endometriosis-wise, we've had some interesting information come out. They're supposedly doing more funding that has been passed in the House, if I'm not mistaken. They're supposed to be doing more funding for endometriosis, hopefully to find a cure. But we need a cure for endometriosis. 1 in 10 women, all ages, we need to find a cure is what we need. So hopefully all of that will go through and we can get the funding that we need in 2021. Awareness is so important, which is exactly why I do this podcast, to raise awareness, education. Honestly, it's why I do everything, to build awareness and educate. Why I am, one reason I'm an empowerment speaker. Main reason, author, doing books, podcasts, everything. Endometriosis advocate, we need a cure, we need awareness, we need to be educated. I talk about endometriosis anytime I can. And, you know, honestly, a lot of people don't know what endometriosis is. I have a conversation with people, they don't know what it is. I will bring up endometriosis, and, you know, a lot of times people tell me, you know, they will look it up. You know, they're like, I've never heard of it, but, you know, I'll look it up. And so they look it up. I could tell them about it and all that, but a lot of times I'll bring it up, and they're like, okay, well, I don't know about it. Let me research it. And I let them research it. And, you know, if they have questions, normally they'll come back to me after they've researched it, and they'll be like, I've researched it. And, you know, we normally have a dialogue about it. But it is something as common as it is. 1 in 10 is common to me. As common as endometriosis, people still don't know about it. Why don't you know about something as common as it is? We know about everything else, but we don't know about endometriosis. Is it because it's a women's disease? Is it because women aren't really getting diagnosed like they should? Is it because the women who have it aren't talking? What is the issue? I don't understand. We've had some people come out, some famous actresses that are in, you know, the limelight have come out and said, you know, they have endometriosis. I've heard some things about it in the last probably 5 years. I've heard more information about it. Some of them have public platforms. Some have written books, different things like that. So we are hearing more about it. But it's not enough. We need more education, more awareness, more funding. We need a cure. So I appreciate everybody that listens in on the podcast. I need you guys. Honestly, we need more awareness. You know, if you know someone who has endometriosis, you know people who don't know what endometriosis is and you have it, please share this podcast with them. Please share your story with them. Please get more awareness out there. You know, I have in the link, you know, in the bio section, there's links. I have a part of a collaboration of a book that's coming out. My chapter's about my journey with endometriosis to get awareness out there. You know, please educate somebody about endometriosis. That's the only way we can get change, is to educate people about it. There are so many people who live with endometriosis and no one knows. Honestly, I found out from a lady that I have known for years had endometriosis, just based on, you know, I was talking about something. She's like, yeah, I know how you feel. I have endometriosis. We're not having conversations with people, or we're not telling them. It's not something. Now, prior to me feeling like it's my mission to go out and share endometriosis, get more awareness and all that, prior to that, I mean, I would not just go around and be like, hey, I have endometriosis. But these days, you know, since it's part of the book, part of my podcast, part of speaking, since it's my platform, I guess I will say, then I do bring it up in different situations all of the time. But I know everyone doesn't do that. But we have to bring awareness to it to get things to change. Some people have just reading some people's story of endometriosis is just so heartbreaking to me. Like I said, I follow different endometriosis pages on Facebook and things on Instagram, and just reading some of their stories and how hard it is for them and different things, it's just really, really sad. And some of them, reading their stories on Facebook, honestly, some of them have a hard time opening up, and they're like, you know, I have never shared this with someone before and all of that. Everyone has a powerful story that is life-changing and can change someone else's life. And we don't think about that. We don't think about how our story can help other people. So I know that I've said, you know, the podcast, you know, I've always said the podcast is not about me. I do the podcast to educate and all of that. It's not, I don't, you know, it's just not about me. And, you know, that is something that has been, you know, which is funny because it was iterated, again, about, you know, sometimes the things that we do are not for ourselves, they're to help others. I was on a call, basically, about the thing about, basically, one of the book projects that I have, and I remember the lady in charge is, you know, she made a statement, which is something that, you know, similar to what I said. She's, you know, where I say it's not about me. It's about, you know, educating and awareness. You know, she stated basically, it's our story, but it's not for us. So yes, it's your story, but your story is not for you. Your story is to help other people. So basically, you know, it's not all about you, which I'm like, that's, you know, that's honestly what I say in terms of, you know, sometimes the things that you do is not necessarily for you, it's to help other people. And just bringing awareness, there's so many things on the forefront. And I think the only way we're ever going to get awareness and create change for endometriosis or anything else is just by more awareness and sharing our stories. No, it's not always easy to open up and share our stories with other people and to be vulnerable and have people know what's going on with us. Endometriosis is very, very personal. It's not easy for everyone to share their story with other people on, you know, even one other person, but to get, you know, how to share your story in a book, podcast, you know, on a stage, whether it's in person or virtually. You know, that's just a different type of, just a whole different type of experience, honestly. And it's just about being transparent and letting people know that there's someone out there who understands them and what they're going through. It's really what it comes down to. I wish when I first heard the word endometriosis 15 years ago, I wish that there was someone who, well, we really didn't have podcasts then, I guess. But I wish there was someone who was sharing their story, or more women were sharing their story, or would have come forward and talked about endometriosis. It was so not something that I heard. Now, it's more common, a little more common now, but still, a lot of people don't know about it. Like I said, I've come across people and they're like, I don't know what it is, or anything like that. And these are women as well. Women, some women don't even know what endometriosis is. So, you know, it's so important to know what's, you know about it. Because chances are really, really good that you know people who have it. They just haven't shared it with you. Or maybe they haven't shared it with anybody. I mean, it's something that's just, oh my gosh, so, as you know, so personal. And depending on what symptoms you have, I mean, it can be really, really personal. And it can do, I mean, just some of the things that you avoid when you have endometriosis just really makes you think about if you really knew more, or if you heard from people, or if you just, if more people would share just how your life would be different on some level, is really just interesting. Like, I know that so many times you hear things that you've experienced things personally, and it's kind of like once you heard someone else's story, you can relate, and you're like, oh, well, I have this and that, and sometimes it just brings some hope or a different perspective to what you're going through. And I feel like we need that for endometriosis. We really need that. So, I know for me, thinking back, I really could have used the perspective and wish someone would have, more people would have spoken out. It's amazing to see what, you know, what has happened over time in terms of that, because when you first hear about the word endometriosis, I feel like it's kind of scary, honestly, and just being young and not really knowing what to expect and all of that, I really feel like I shut down my dating life, honestly, and based on all of these, when you look at so many people that have endometriosis that you see now, then it's like, that's not necessarily, that really did not have to be the option or the road you choose. There are so many people who have the issue, who are married, have kids, this and that. So it's not necessarily the road that you have to go down, but it's the road some people choose just based on lack of, honestly, lack of knowledge and all of that. or just like not knowing what to do, or many doctors don't even know about endometriosis. Like, when you go to the doctor sometimes about endometriosis, they still just want to put you on the pills. We want to do birth control. Because all we know is hormones. But hormones feed into it. So you're suppressing the period and all of that, which is fine. So the lady's not having, per se, the symptoms. But what are you doing on the inside? Endometriosis is still growing, feeding, all of that. So it's just like a catch-22. Another thing, endometriosis, I will say this, endometriosis is something that should not be taken lightly. I would highly encourage you to, I know I talked about it last week, go to a specialist. Go to an endometriosis specialist. It is worth it to see someone who knows all about endometriosis. Yes, your OBGYN could know about endometriosis, but endometriosis specialist, that is all that they do. That is their specialty. They will enlighten you and share things that you don't know, and it's just mind-blowing. Now, I understand not everyone lives somewhere where there's an endometriosis specialist. I know there's not an endometriosis specialist in my town. So for me to see the endometriosis specialist, I did have to travel out of town. Thankfully, I did not have to travel that far. I only had to travel like 5 hours. So it's a little ways, but not as bad as some people. But I challenge you to, you know, see an endometriosis specialist. Even if it's for a second opinion, just go see what they say, because what they say is just amazing in terms of different things. And I don't think I ever talked recently, I never talked about, you know, some of the things that I found out when I went to my visit. One of the things, you know, I found out was that they ended up, it wasn't just, so like you can, like they can, when they have surgery, they can cut it out, they can burn it, all of this stuff. Well, so I found out based on, you know, I took the surgical report on that with me, I found out that, you know, the endometriosis specialist told me that the surgeon that I had actually used scissors to cut it out. And I'm like, okay, you know, is that good or bad? And, you know, he seemed to think that cutting it out with scissors was pretty good. Still didn't give me a definite on what stage of endometriosis, but based on reading the operative report and all of that, did not think it was what I thought it was, did not, you know, said, does not think it was a stage 4. Based on tubes being open, there was not, my organs were not, you know, they weren't fused together, all of that. Based on what he's saying, he does not think it's stage 4, but did not elaborate on what stage he thought it was. Talked about, you know, hopefully, you know, did read that and was thinking, you know, maybe, you know, the bowel could be the issue on that. Thinking it hopefully just surface bowel, so not major surgery, which is good news. Still have to see the bowel specialist, so I'll be doing that. But just a lot of insight, and I think I talked about it, but still, man, that paperwork for the endometriosis specialist, spot on. That paperwork is so thorough, or the one I went to was so thorough. It is everything. It was like 30-something pages by the time you printed it all out. And it's just like everything. He asks everything that you ever want to know and that you need to know about somebody who has endo. It's just amazing. It's like, it's just the greatest. And, you know, I can't speak for everyone's experience with the specialist, but I do think it's something, you know, that you definitely need to at least go to once and, you know, see what they say and all of that. Because, you know, I found some I ended up getting some great information from my appointment because, you know, I was thinking I had stage 4. You know, I didn't think too much about cutting, burning. I mean, I figured it was cut, but I didn't really think about scissors being better, this, that, and the other, or anything like that. So, I mean, it was just different, and just, you know, I got some, like, you know, a few questions answered, not all of my questions answered, because it was just, you know, my visit was a little shorter, unfortunately, so, you know, I do have to go back, and all of that. So, hopefully that visit will be a little longer and find out more information in terms of, you know, stage and this and that. But, you know, just some great information in terms of what I did find out. And those are things, you know, that I had not found out previously. And I don't know if I would, you know, per se, find them out. And it's just very, on some level, it's very comforting to know that my surgery was done correctly. Because I feel like, on some level, when it comes to my bowel endometriosis part, I feel like the surgeon dropped the ball and not reaching out to or doing a consultation with the bowel specialist. So to feel like she did other things correctly, you know, is a real relief to me. That's comforting to know that, you know, I don't have stage 4 as well. And, you know, that everything from what he read, you know, seems to be looking good. And, you know, I did another test, the tubes were still open and all of that. So that is good and gave some reassurance. And I wanted to just give some information about endometriosis specialists. Like I talked about the specialists on the last episode, just to inform about that. I don't know if people knew they were endometriosis specialists, but I really didn't know about an endometriosis specialist until Facebook groups. They kept talking about endometriosis specialists, and then I have on Facebook, and I mean different groups, when there's another person who has endometriosis, a lot of times we refer to them as our endo sister because, you know, as you guys know, endometriosis, they kind of consider family. So endo sister, I have an endo sister that I actually met her on Facebook, and we talk on Facebook and Instagram. But, you know, I started asking her about endometriosis specialist, and she, you know, was telling me, you know, what to look for and all of this, and, you know, they don't have them all the places, and was just giving me some great information. And I figured, you know, a lot of us don't know about that, so that was something I wanted to bring up so I can be insightful. And I just wanted, you know, to let you know, not every city has them. I don't have any, honestly, I don't have an endometriosis specialist at all in my state. So I've had to travel to next door to the state, you know, the state over next to me. So that's why it's a little travel. Some people are lucky to have one in their city. Some people are lucky to have them in their state. I don't have any in my whole entire state, so I have to travel. I mean, I can travel. I mean, 5 hours was the closest. I mean, there are a few other, I mean, there are areas, places, states around me, I guess. But that's, like, the closest one. And so you have to think about, in terms of, if you do go to an endometriosis specialist, chances are you are probably going to have to go. And that's one thing I was asking her, too, is, like, you know, how often do you go, this and that? Because, you know, you want to take that into account. If you have to go a couple times a year, or however many times it is, you want to pick a location that is somewhere that's easy for you to get to a couple times a year. You don't want to pick somewhere that is expensive or hard to get to or this and that if you're having to go a couple times a year. So that's why, you know, I picked somewhere that was close, you know, it was close by, they had good reviews and this and that, because it's like it's going to be easier to get there and all of that. And you know, you can drive there, and I mean, it's like, it's not going to be a whole big ordeal if you have to go. So that's the thing too. And then most of the people, well, depending on it is, you know, a lot of times they know you're out of state, so then, you know, they try to go ahead and work with you on that and then just schedule your appointment. Because I know when I was there, and they fill up, you know, like all the other specialists, they fill up fast too. So like when I was there, they just, you know, scheduled a follow-up then and went then, you know, they're scheduling, you know, like all the other doctors so many weeks or months out. So then you just get it then. But, you know, that was something I wanted to do and look into. And like I said, our health is so important. And I just feel like we need to do everything we can to stay healthy. And so, you know, if you feel like you need to or want to see a specialist, I suggest that you do. Because it's just a whole other ball game. Because that is what their specialty is. That's what they know about. So it was just so nice to have a conversation with someone who knew all about endometriosis and could, you know, talk back on the subject without hesitation. And honestly, you know, taught me some things. Because I feel like going to the doctor, talking to them about endometriosis most of the time, they're not really telling me anything new, honestly. But, you know, I learn new things going there, and, you know, look forward to seeing what else I find out and all of that in the future, and seeing what we can do about the endometriosis on my bowel, because I feel like that is my main issue at this point. And it's just something that needs to get taken care of. And it's just been something that's a long time in the works, so it's just nice to finally try to get some answers on what's causing my issues. So that is nice as well. And just so many things. And again, like, again, it's the year in review, so I'm going to keep bringing up 2020. But 2020 has taught me so many things about my health, about how important it is to always stay on top of your health. Yes, we're in a pandemic, and that has played a role as well. But it has taught me that we need to just always be so thankful for our health and do whatever we can to stay on top of it. So I guess some of my self-care things have just been going to the doctors you know, trying to get this figured out and going to the different specialists that I need to try to get everything taken care of. And I know a lot of people put off going to the doctor or getting done what they need to. And I, you know, challenge you to make that appointment in the new year that you need to. Please quit putting off what you need to get done. I know a lot of people, it's scary, it's this, it's that. I totally understand, especially with the pandemic. You know, I had some conversations yesterday about, you know, with the whole pandemic, people aren't wanting to do certain procedures, all that. Totally, totally understand. But please don't make your doctors, you know, do your doctor's visits, do this, do that. So please do all of that still. Yes, the pandemic, you know, I understand about people not wanting to, you know, do different things. I had a procedure during the pandemic. I had a colonoscopy back in June, which we were still in the pandemic. And I mean, the hospital where I had it done, they took all the procedures, the precautions, all of that. So I mean, I felt safe. So I didn't feel like, oh, I'm having to have this during the pandemic and all of that. It was something that needed to be done. They took the procedures. So I mean, I felt fine with it, but I know that's not how everyone feels. So this is the season of change, taking care of things, taking care of business. We're getting gearing up for with this podcast, we're gearing up for, oh wow, season 3, which is crazy. But in years, we're gearing up for 2021, which is just amazing. I feel like new things are on the horizon in 2021. And season 3 of the podcast will be bringing new things as well as 2021. So one of the things is season 2 was amazing of the podcast. Can't believe I recorded 26 episodes this season, which is, oh my gosh, like triple the amount of episodes I had the first season, because season 1 was short. So I started in September and had 8 episodes officially. So to have 26 this year is just amazing. And I know in season 3 we're going to have fewer. I'm not going to have as many. I'm not going to have 26 like I did this season. But they are going to be amazing shows. I'm looking at doing all different types of things. Having podcast guests, changing things up some, new topics, just all types of things. So I'm looking forward to that. And just still bringing awareness, doing books, just doing all types of things with endometriosis, awareness. And I've talked about I have the book. Dang, the book has kept me busy and will continue to keep me busy because I'm working on another book project. And the first book is Women Inspiring Nations, Volume 3, I'm Still Standing, which is a collaborative book. And I talk about my chapter is about my journey with endometriosis. But what drew me to the project, honestly, is women inspiring nations. Now, and then it talks about I'm still standing. Now, the title alone was amazing. And the opportunity to be in a book is just amazing on its own. And hopefully I do inspire women. Hopefully I inspire women to speak up, to advocate for their health, to honestly get, you know, get the help they need for their endometriosis. and honestly just educate people on it. So I love the title, all of that. It's not, it's honestly, it's being released here real soon. It's being released on Tuesday, January 5th. So, so excited about that. And it's just something, again, it's just amazing. And I'm trying to get the word out about endometriosis. It's something that, you know, I feel like I need to get out. So I talked about it on the podcast. I talked about, you know, all of, we, there's several of us on there. So we, you know, we're selling the books personally. My, one of the previous episodes about small business, which was on November 28th, I want to say. That episode has the link to it in there, which is a couple episodes back. I want to say it was episode 24. Has it on there if you're interested in looking. So that's honestly what's been keeping me busy, is that I'm going to start promoting, and then I'm, like I said, doing another book project. So that's one reason. Well, books being an author and just all the different things, and there's one reason season 3 is honestly going to look a little different. So I'm honestly for season 3, with everything going on, having my new book I just talked about, Women Inspiring Nations, Volume 3, I'm Still Standing, coming out in January, working on another project where I have to get all this stuff done in January. This January is a crazy busy month with author things, and then trying to do some, you know, have some appointments as well. January is just crazy busy, and it's already like filled up the month. So I will not be recording any new episodes of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly in January. I decided to take January off to do the other things and get that taken care of. Plus, I want to, I'll be doing podcast interviews and everything else. So January is just like a crazy, crazy busy month for me. And I want to make sure that I keep putting out good episodes. I want to make sure I have plenty of time for that. So at this point, that's why I'm going to take January off and, you know, focus on that. And then come back with some fun, fresh episodes and new things and have some fun. And then, you know, all of that. So, you know, while I'm gone in January and not recording new episodes, go back and check out, you know, highlights and all of that. Go check out, I'm sure you haven't listened to, listen to the 8 episodes from season 1. Go back and listen to season 2. You know, there are a lot of great episodes that you may have missed, or things you want to go back and listen to. There, you know, we have Year in Review 2019, which I talked about, was the one that came out on my birthday. You can listen to that. There are a lot, you know, some of the top episodes. You know, people liked the 1-year anniversary of my endometriosis surgery. People liked 1 year of the Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly, which, you know, is my podcast one that I did. People like cycle, position, and bowels. So there are a lot of ones that she could like. Painful sex and endometriosis was popular. And that was in, you know, season 1. There are just a lot of different ones that you can listen to that are, you know, Endo Belly was popular. That was, you know, that was this season. So there are a lot of different ones that you can listen to. Again, if you have some that, some ideas, you can, you know, email me, let me know. You know, another good one, birth control and endometriosis was popular. There are just a lot of good ones out there. Talk about self-care, that was this season as well. So there are just a lot of good ones out there that you can listen to. And just keep getting your fill of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly while I am on break in January. And looking forward to all of the amazing things, and I honestly have some ideas for some new topics and different things, and we'll keep talking about the journey, and you know, when I come back, we'll have some, have some news. Actually, I will be seeing the bath specialist in January, which is another, you know, one of the things I have in January that's just busy, busy, busy. So, I can catch up on that and just all of the other things. I meant to say it earlier in the episode, I hope everyone had a good holiday. Things have been busy over here trying to do everything, but I just wanted to, you know, let you guys know that I am taking January off, and I will miss doing new episodes then, but I will be coming back. So, my first new episode of Season 3, Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly, will be Saturday, February 13th, 2021. Still going to be at 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. That'll be right before Valentine's Day, so I have to make sure that I have a fun show lined up that day. Then I said, you know, last time that I was going to talk about the book some and talk about my appointment and just see how everything went. And I hope that everyone has a blessed and wonderful New Year and an awesome January, and that you stay healthy and happy and safe, and that you will join me for Season 3 of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly on Saturday, February 13th at 12:45 Central Standard Time. Thank you for all the love that you guys have shown me for the past 2 seasons. Can't wait to kick off Season 3 in February. And I just send you all a bunch of love. And thank you again. And I will see you in 2021. Yay! Take care. Stay safe. Talk to you again soon.